The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
We were in Iowa City again. He was dropping us off at school. We were in the back seat.
Cold.
Little guys.
Winter. Cold. The Biscayne. The Chevy Biscayne. No heater.
Yeah.
Remember? The car didn't have a heater.
That's the car that eventually wasn't there that day. You know, it just ran out.
It lived a long life.
A good life. Life
was ended.
But that's what he would say. He would, like, drop us off at school. First time I heard it was, okay, boys, grab your lunch boxes and go attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And don't take any wooden nickels. Okay, get going. And out the door we go. And that became like a daily thing when he was dropping us off at school.
The Harbaugh brothers together again in the NFL, competing in the same conference, attacking each and every day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, which is theoretically impossible, but I like it. I've always liked the sound of it.
It's positive.
All those Michigan guys we talked to last week, all those Michigan guys, they love Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
They love his sayings. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Blake Corum said it makes the hair on your arm stand up when he says it after a game.
Oh.
That stuff works.
Yeah, of course.
It works. That's why he's successful. It's hokey. It's dopey. It's cliche. It works.
Yeah. No,
who cares?
No doubt.
It's weird.
A great way
who
about
cares?
It.
Who cares? It works.
You look tired today, by the way. What the hell did you do all night? You look like you just rolled out of bed like 5 minutes before the show, just so you know. I'm just letting
you
know.
Maybe I did.
I don't know. You might
have. That's so freaking
you got
rude.
Here. I know.
That is so
right.
rude.
I figured it was in good, you know, Harbaugh fun right there. I'm just going to keep it real, right? Yeah. It's an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. You got here a little late today. Yeah. You didn't show the enthusiasm I'd like. You look a little tired.
I'd like
Wake
to,
your ass up. Let's
I'd like
go.
To get a... I'd like to get a baseball bat and attack you with an enthusiasm.
I bet you would.
That's for damn sure.
But you are right. You are right. There is, hey, that's where a head coach, a great leader, can be, you know, extremely positive just for the mind frame on a daily basis. And I saw that with Jim Harbaugh. You know, I haven't been around John a lot in Baltimore and got to experience that energy. But with Jim being at Michigan earlier this year, right? I had been in San Francisco a few times at, you know, say hi to your dad, right? And seen at least practices and, of course, got to interact with him that one time, right? But it's kind of undefeated as far as Jim, even though people were like, oh, he might be a jerk. I don't know what to, you know, think of that guy. Man, like I told you earlier last year, the Michigan kids – loved Jim Harbaugh. The energy, the things he said on a daily basis, getting in the locker room, hitting him on the shoulder pads, giving him a smack on the head, right? Blocking with them out in the practice field, catching footballs, doing all that. So he sets forth like a great, you know, frame of mind that just makes it like, hey, this is cool. Let's work today. This is the way it is. And, you know, that's what a leader can do. I can't imagine growing up in that Harbaugh house, though.
It's just a damn shame.
Yeah.
That somebody.
What?
Within the 49ers organization decided they didn't like him. They had enough of him. So it wasn't enough to just say, let's go our separate ways. We have different styles. It just isn't working. And I don't know who it was.
I think it was a little
but
both
instead
ways.
Instead of that. Well, but no. I think he and Trent Baalke did not get along.
Yes.
And got to the point
right.
where they right. basically hated each other.
Yes.
And Jed York, by all appearances, sided with Baalke, not Harbaugh, because otherwise Baalke's the one who would have been nudged out, and we would have gotten the narratives about how Baalke's difficult and Baalke's hard to get along with. Because anytime you have two people who can't get along, the inability to get along is mutual. Because somebody, both of them in this equation, have failed to get along. Because somebody's not bending to the other one's personality. Baalke didn't bend to Harbaugh, and Harbaugh didn't bend to Baalke, and Jed York, by all appearances, broke the tie. My point is this. If it's just not working, it's just not working. You go your separate ways. You shake hands and you part company. You don't need to trash the other guy with this narrative that just kind of crept through the league that he's too hard to get along with.
Well, he left in a weird way. He left and, like, called everybody. It was like, hey, I'm at Michigan. I'm taking Michigan's job. Didn't tell anybody. So that's not going to get you,
Chris, they fired him. The last day of the season, I was in the studio when the email came out. They fired him, and they called it mutual, and he said it wasn't mutual. And then he went to Michigan. They fired him.
I don't know about the specifics. All I know, I do know enough to know that it goes both ways there. I know that, right? That's all I'm saying. Okay. I think Jim has learned, and he's a different guy right now than he was 10 years ago. He was in everybody's face 10 years ago. There's a reason nobody – His literally, it was like Jim Harbaugh, you're going to get him for 3 years, and then you can't stand him, and you're going to get rid of him. That was Jim Harbaugh's, you know, mantra. That wasn't everybody else. So I can't totally let you just go off on that totally. Jim had some issues. I experienced them, right, as we know.
All right.
So, yeah. So, but he's a great coach.
But I did too. But that's what a football coach does. Most successful football coaches are not Tony Dungy. Most successful football coaches are in your face. They coach
you. They are.
They tell you what's what. They have to be aggressive because you have to command that room full of men.
Agreed.
At the NFL level, it's a little more challenging
Agreed.
To command a room full of grown-ass men.
No.
I'm
with you there, man.
Look, he's going to be successful with the Chargers.
Yes, he is.
He would have been successful with the Vikings. He would have been successful with any team that would have hired him. And, you know, it's impressive when you consider, even though he was clearly flirting – each and every year with a return to the NFL. Remember, last year he wanted the Chargers job and the Broncos interviewed
him. Yeah, right.
He still was able to be wildly successful. You know, that used to be the kiss of death. The idea that, that coach you really like, he ain't staying.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to be there. No,
right.
You better go somewhere else. You better not like that coach as much because he's not as all in as he expects you to be. They used to use that against guys all the time.
Sure.
That's why I remembered when Dennis Erickson became the coach of the 49ers some 20 years ago. Out of the blue, they're looking for a coach after they fired Steve Mariucci, I believe. And it's like, Dennis Erickson, what the hell is this? Because that's how college coaches used to pursue NFL jobs. Nobody knew that anyone was talking to the college coach until it was done, and then he was gone.
Yeah.
So he kind of changed that. I mean, it was shifting, but he's made it a non-issue.
Definitely.
You're with a college team, and you're thinking about going to the NFL, you go talk to him, and then you come back. Clean out your office, and then come back. Don't be there on the day that you sign the letter of intent for the incoming recruiting class, and then you come back. And so, anyway, he comes back to
that
the NFL.
That shows you. He's got the magic touch now.
He does.
Right.
He was a jerk to me the first time I ever talked to him, but I think he's going to be very successful.
I'm with you there. The he's been very
Chargers.
Successful. There's no argument there. You know, he has, and you're exactly right. I expect positive things for sure from the Chargers right out the gate. We know that it's going to be tough. It's going to be physical. You know, they're going to know who they are and play to that on both sides of the ball. That's what Jim Harbaugh does. That's why he's the man. So I'm with you there, Mike. Let me ask you this. Your dad drive you to school a lot as a kid? Were you the bus kid? How did that kind of work in your life?
Well, my mom didn't drive.
Right.
So she never drove. She never had a driver's license. I think something happened I think when she was like exploring the possibility
of
trying to learn how to drive a car, I think something happened and that was it. I never got the whole story, but it's like one of those things you don't talk about in the family. Like mom never drove. My grade school, since you're asking me the question, I'll answer it.
Yes.
I walked. It wasn't that far. It wasn't like, we had to walk. I walked. Now, we walked in the snow and we walked in the rain and we walked when it was dark out the year that they had 2 hours of daylight savings time. That's coming this weekend, by the way, with just 1 hour of daylight saving time.
Wait, that's coming this weekend?
I think it is.
That's great.
I think it is.
That's great.
Yeah,
I like that.
It was going to be extra dark in the morning, though. I like coming up the steps and seeing light come in the window as I come up to the studio. Maybe I'd get here a little earlier if that's the case. I was late today. Wait till next
week. Now we know why you look so tired.
Instead of 7. sorry, Newcastle. But anyway, I walked for 8 years and then took the bus. Walked to the bus stop and took the bus. However, it's funny you ask about my dad.
Right.
Because I didn't want to tell this whole story yesterday and bog the show down with the whole Josh Allen ripping his pants. When I was in high school, after the first period of the day, I had an exam in like math class, like in 3 minutes, literally. And I bent down at my locker and ripped my pants. And it's like, and you just feel that when that seam goes, it just goes. It's just gone. And it's like, what? I got a test in 3 freaking minutes. What am I going to do? So I went to the payphone. I'm sure there's a payphone somewhere. There were payphones everywhere back then. Called home. Dad came and got me, took me home, changed pants, came back, showed up like halfway through the period for taking the test, and still got it done.
Okay.
And it's funny because it's the only time.
The only time
he ever drove me to school.
That's the
it's
only
just
time.
It's amazing that you asked me that the day after Josh Allen split his damn pants because those two halves of the sandwich come together, and here we are.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, my dad was – it was not a regular – I'm a little like you. I was not far from my grade school. Rode the bike there a lot, right? You know, and I'm talking – it's like a 3-minute, 4-minute bike ride on nice days with the weather good. But then, you know, hey, mom, as I got older, I got a little more into it. And then, hey, mom, drive me, blah, blah, blah. Mom would drive me. I'm the same as you. Dad was very rare. In fact, if dad drove me, especially when I was, like, in grade school and, you know, he was still playing with the Giants, it was a big deal, right? It really was. I'd always get out of the car on a day, dad, and everybody like, ooh, that was your dad that drove you today? Ooh, I like his car. Because dad always had a cool car, too, growing up. He had, like, a silver Corvette that was like kind of rare for a while. Then he had like,
Wait a minute, can you believe this?
Yeah,
There's no way.
Right.
There's no way that guy fits in a Corvette.
He did. You wouldn't think it. Understated Phil Sims, the big effer, right? He liked his kind of hot, flashy cars as a player. And even though he kind of played and, you know, was not immediate, he was a little understated, he liked the cars like that. Had big bucket seats, right? And I can't remember exactly, but I, you know, it was a little bit custom made, I think, to him to a degree. So it was awesome, right? That, and then he got into like having a like a Jaguar, a long white Jaguar that was just two doors, right? That was another one. And I remember some of my teachers were always like, "Oh, I love your dad's car. That is so unbelievable," you know, all that stuff. But rare for dad to be driving me to school.
Now, when you got old enough to drive,
yeah,
did they let you drive yourself to school? Because for me, it was like this rare, strange occurrence where I was actually allowed to drive to school, even though I drove everywhere else, had a job that I drove to after school.
Yep.
Right? But it was like, because you're getting a free ride on the bus. I think it was as simple as gas ain't free.
Right.
And there's a bus that comes by.
Yeah.
Two blocks away,
right.
Get your ass up to the corner and take the bus and take the free ride. You don't need to be driving. I think it was as simple as that.
I hear you. I had some friends that were definitely in that boat. As I got older, I got too into trying to sleep every last second I could, and I barely ever made the bus in high school. But so my mom, like freshman year, sophomore year, when I wasn't driving yet, right? Yeah, she was definitely driving me. But then I got into, driving myself every day and, like, more importantly, how to take auto shop class too, right? Because auto shop class, if you took that class, you could park in the upper lot and not be in the lower lot that you had to walk a long way to get to class. You could park in the upper lot and be right by the school. So I was all in on auto shop for those parking purposes. All in on it all the time.
Well, I assume that when you were in auto shop, they had you working on the bigger parts, because I can't imagine those giant meat hooks dealing with the finer points of the tiny little pieces of the car. I mean, you're like throwing tires on and stuff.
Yeah, lug that's probably, all. It's basics.
Lug nut is like a screw for a normal person. For you, a lug nut is like a screw for me.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, it was. Here's the way I sucked up for the auto tech teacher is I would bring in my mom and dad's cool cars, right? So he'd be like, if it was like a show and tell day, or hey, let's open up an engine and let me show you what it looks like, I'd be like, oh, I'll bring my dad's, you know, fast car tomorrow that's really expensive, and he would love that. And that would buy me a few extra days of parking in the upper lot, you know, because we were supposed to rotate and share, but, you know, I found my way to hog more days than I probably should have.
I'm surprised Phil let you drive a nice car.
Yeah, he didn't know. Phil was 16. Like, he wasn't into details like that. You know, Phil's very focused, and if he had, you know, if it was football season, I mean, crap, he wasn't thinking about anything in the football. He was just sitting there, I'll give bye-bye, Christopher, have a good day, and then it was right back to, like, you know, that was it. So I could have walked out of the house with, you know, all his money, his cash, you know, his cars, his key. He would never known anything. He didn't know.
And you probably did.
I did. I mean, a few
you probably
times.
Did. You I probably did a lifted times. A few bucks out of his wallet.
Definitely.
From time to time.
Definitely. Yep. So, oh, hey, yeah. There's a few. There's an extra $100. I'll take that.
We had a change jar in the house that I used to hit from time to time to go play pinball, and you know, it's just like the first couple times I did, it's like, you know, there's a bunch of quarters and dimes and nickels in there. It's like they're not going to miss a few quarters, so that became my
your
my
spot,
little, yeah. Piggy bank. My little piggy bank.
Well, speaking of change and a piggy bank.
Yeah. Change in a different way, too, right, for the Buffalo Bills. Good Lord. It was unexpected. It was stunning. And credit to them for doing it like a week early, because it gives all the guys that they cut yesterday more of a chance to go out and find another spot.
Yeah.
In competition with the guys who are free agents, who are officially available to be pursued on Monday at noon Eastern, by having this bloodletting. $41 million they started over the cap on Wednesday. And they slashed and they burned. And bye-bye to Jordan Poyer, starting safety. Center Mitch Morse, who they signed away from the Chiefs a few years ago. Nyheim Hines, that one was expected after he had that off-field, not that it was his fault, but he had a one of those things. What's that thing called? The thing Kenny Powers rides, the water jet ski. Jet ski.
Yeah, jet ski. That's right. Sorry.
Deontay Hardy's gone. Saron Neal's gone. $25.955 million in cap space from those moves. They will eventually release Tre'Davious White with a post-June 1 designation to put the cap hit between 2 years, 24 and 25. So they ended up clearing $37 million in cap space with their roster moves yesterday. They still need to do more.
Yeah.
But $37 million off the books just like that. One fell swoop, off we go. And the Bills reconfiguring the roster by necessity to get ready for 2024.
Big moves, like you said. Big moves. Gotten Von Miller to renegotiate his contract, right? I believe that saved them a little bit north of $8 million.
8.65. And it kind of felt like he really did him a favor, because he has guaranteed money.
I know.
A lot of guaranteed money.
It definitely sounds like he did him a favor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically said, okay, you know, whatever, I'll help the team out. He knows, hey, last year was kind of a get back, get right, healthy year, but he certainly wasn't himself, right? So he decided to help the football team out, and he didn't have to. That is cool of him. But I think it does speak to the culture up there in Buffalo, right? You know, players like it up there. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, they've created something there where I think a day like yesterday is especially hard for them, right? Those are their kind of guys. They have their kind of guys as far as how they look. They're going to fit what we do up here in Buffalo, how we coach, how we play. And they're a big part of the culture. I mean, especially Jordan Poyer. Come on. I mean, he's like almost an extension of the defensive coaching staff. He's idolized up there. He's one of the greatest leaders on their team, right? So him, Mitch Morse has been a great center for them over the years. The rest of these guys have been good complementary players. But at the end of the day, right, I mean, you know, you're sitting here and I'm getting ready for free agency and the podcast and all that stuff, and you're going, well, Buffalo's got to make major moves here. I mean, they got to do something. Right, they got to do something to, you know, not only get underneath the cap, but you'd like them to get underneath in an area too where maybe they could add a player or two, like we've talked about in free agency, that, you know, can be a little bit more of a difference maker, or that difference maker that we feel they lack at times in some of the big moments. And I think this is the first time I've looked at it and gone, ooh. They're serious about their business. I know they had to do this, but I think they finally have realized, wait, the shelf life of this team that we've had in Buffalo the last few years that went to an AFC championship game, lost a shootout to Mahomes in the divisional round, you know, the Bengals and Joe Burrow, and then, of course, last year, I think they realize it's over. It's time to move on. You know, it's these guys have kind of, you know, ran the test of time here, and we need some new blood and some new guys in here and new energy and try to restart this, you know, restart this engine again and get back into that Super Bowl window.
Well, and on Von Miller, I think the key is going to be knowing what, and I just made a note to find out what the incentives are this year for
him,
because he had $17.5 million fully guaranteed for this year. Because remember, there was that incident where there was some sort of allegation made against him during the season.
Yep,
one of the first
Texas.
Things that, right. that we put together was, if something happens here, his guaranteed salary of $17.5 million for next year becomes unguaranteed, and they could just move on and clear up $17.5 million just like that. So he drops it to $8.855 million by way of salary. That creates $8.645 million in cap space. With incentives, he can make as much as 20. But see, the way that you do it, there are certain types of incentives that count against this year's caps, and then there are certain types of incentives that count against next year. And my guess is, based upon what's happened here, they've created, it's called likely to be earned versus not likely to be earned. And it doesn't take much. If you had a down year, it doesn't take much to get to not likely to be earned, because you just have to do a little bit better than what you did last year in whatever category they pick. And it could be that he doesn't have to do all that much this year to unlock as much money to get back to where he was. Then it just becomes a cap device where we took money from this year and moved it to next year.
Yeah.
So we don't know how much of a true haircut Von Miller took by way of dropping $17.5 million down to $8.855. We'll find out. But it's possible that they were just moving money around, and he's taking the chance that he's not going to do a little bit more than he did last year. And I think part of it, too, they could have cut him, and he walks away with $17.5 million, but he don't have a team.
You're exactly right.
I'm sure somebody would have given him a job somewhere for the minimum.
Yeah.
He still makes his $17.5.
Right.
But if he wants to stay in Buffalo, if he wants to see this thing through, you don't get to play for the Buffalo Bills.
No.
If you want to play for the Bills, you got to redo this deal, and maybe at this point he's made plenty of money over the years. He decides, I'll take the chance to make less this year because I want to stay here.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's probably some of that on play there. There's two sides that I look at it and go, you know, one, yeah, Von Miller, right? Yeah, I don't think he was going to find anything near that, right, with the current status of his body and the unknown. And okay, is he still the same guy, right? So I think he probably looked at it and went, wait, I like it here in Buffalo. Right, we got Josh Allen. We still are a damn good football team. Yeah, we need a few players, certainly. I've made money. I'm at the end of my career, and I'm not going to find a paycheck out there right now at this point in my career, anything like this, right? And I think the other side of that, too, is, you know, hey, I think a lot of guys in Von Miller's, you know, case, scenario, whatever, might have been cut. But because he's Von Miller, because he treats people the right way, because he's a good leader in the locker room, right, I think he gets the benefit of the doubt there. I do, and I don't say that in a bad way at all. Like, I think that's what's amazing about Von Miller. He is special type of leader in the locker room and worker and doing all that. And I think the other encouraging side of it is that Buffalo does want to keep him. They obviously think he can turn the corner here and get closer to what he used to be before this ACL injury. I mean, this ACL injury, let's be serious. It derailed him big time. I mean, he was playing really good football in 2022. And, you know, harassing the quarterback, making big plays at the end of the game like we talked about that somebody needed to do up there in Buffalo. You know, made pressure on Mahomes in the regular season game to end the game on a fourth down, right? But then that Thanksgiving Day game, Detroit Lions, somebody falls on that leg. He's never been the same. And, yeah, he's trying to just kind of survive and buy himself some time here to get back to 100%.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Last year, he appeared in 12 games with zero starts and had 0.0 sacks.
Yeah.
And by way of example,
yeah,
he could unlock a massive payment with one sack. With one sack. And it would be treated as a not likely to be earned incentive because it's an improvement over what he did last year. It doesn't go against this year's cap.
That's a good example,
next
yeah.
Year's cap. That's right. That's one way that you can get a lot of that money back. So we'll find out what the incentives are. But there's a chance he didn't really give up that much. But we'll see. We'll see. And, you know, from the Bills standpoint, too, Chris, beyond cutting a guy that has $17.5 million fully guaranteed that he walks away with, they're the ones that
gave him a big contract.
They're the ones that went all in. Like, you don't really want to make it too conspicuous that we're admitting this was a mistake. Oh, and we're giving him a $17.5 million parting gift.
Yeah, I agree with that there, too. You're right. There's a little bit of that. That's a little bit of the political nature of the business and saving face or whatever else that way. But it worked out. Either way, worked out for both sides. And Buffalo, obviously, you know, has still some more work to do here. It'd be interesting to see what happens, right? You know, but you know, Tre'Davious White, hey, that's a guy was all pro-ish, Pro Bowl, right? Early on in his career, got paid, hurt his ACL, never been the same. Never, right? And I wondered, I was like, oh, they drafted him. You know, he's a part of their culture. Are they going to try to put a Band-Aid on this and kind of make it work because he's one of the guys, a little bit like we were talking about, just the political nature of the sport. But I give them credit for going, wait, you know, I just think it's over. You know, it's not worth the price tag anymore. He's no longer even in the conversation of the top cornerbacks in football. And, you know, those are the tough decisions that Brandon Bean and company had to make, and I give him credit for that.
Well, one of the ways they can create some cap space, and one of the reasons why they were so far over, Chris.
Yeah.
Last year,
right.
Josh Allen,
right.
Cap number, $18.6 million. This year, next Wednesday at 4 o'clock
big
Eastern,
year.
Cap number, $47 million. There's almost $30 million right there. You wonder how they end up so far over the cap. And now I know why Brandon Bean last week was like, oh, that really saves us to go to 255. Yeah, it does. You still have to let all these guys go. It's still a cap massacre in Buffalo, even with the cap at 255.
Right.
But
that's why he was so thrilled to hear you say maybe Josh Allen should ask for a new contract or something.
Well, but you know what?
It might be better, you're saying?
Listen.
Yeah.
No, but you know, now they may have the ability if they want to take his $23.5 million salary for this year, reduce it to the minimum and convert the balance to a guaranteed payment. More and more contracts now have that in there as an automatic right. I remember a day 20, 25 years ago where, you know, they call it the simple restructuring, where they would approach a player and say, can we take your salary, reduce it to the minimum, give you the rest of it now.
Right, a signing bonus kind of thing.
And sometimes they'd say no.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'd say no. And it's like, why am I doing you a favor? You want me to do you a favor? You do me a favor. No. You give me all the money now? No. So sometimes they would say no. The contracts have this thing where you just snap your fingers. So maybe they have that. Now, it kicks the can. And next year, Chris, his cap number is 56. And the year after that, it's 52.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about kicking it too much. But this is what happens when you sign a quarterback to a massive contract. They
kick the can down the road a
little. Make it so that in the early years it's low. Here's the numbers.
Right.
$10 million the first year, $16 million the second year, $18 million the third year. That's why it goes to 47, 56, and 52. They structured it so the cap charges are big later. And now they got 47 and they got to figure out what to do with it. What do you do? One way to lower the cap number is to sign him to a new deal and give him a raise.
That's where I thought you were going to go.
But here's the reality.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there's a lot of play with the salary cap. And it's, you know, at times it doesn't feel like real money. But the reality is that every dollar you pay a guy eventually is going to hit the cap. Every dollar that goes into that guy's account will count against the cap at some point. That's why we see Tom Brady, when he finally leaves the Bucs, $35 million left behind. That was money he was paid that they found a way to keep from hitting the cap in 2020, 2021, or 2022. They pushed it to 23. When Drew Brees left the Saints, big cap charge. Right. Remember, he retired officially on June 1, so it was spread over 2 years.
Right.
He did him a favor.
Right.
So there's always that chunk of cap money that you have to account for at some point. And it's not just this magical thing that pops up out of the blue. It represents every dollar you paid the guy. And you know, people ask me, like, with the Saints, why do they do this? Why do they do this? Well, if the cap keeps going up and up and up, it's in your interest to push it to future years because it hurts less in future years.
Right.
A dollar means less next year than it means this year. So let's push it to next year. And the year after, it means even less. As long as the cap keeps going up, it means less and less and less if you take those cap charges in future years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the beauty of it. I mean, look at how you're saying right now. You say things like, oh, it's $47 million, and I'm sitting there going, that's not bad for Josh Allen. I mean, that's not a bad price tag. You're talking about the second best player in football, really, behind Patrick Mahomes? I'll take that price for that, right? So that's, I mean, you're exactly right. That is the purpose there. But they still got some work to do here. And I am going to be interested to see what's going to be the next move. Because I think they want to get underneath the cap comfortably, like we talked about, to find some ways to finagle a few more players on the roster. And, of course, they got to save money for the guys they're going to draft high up in the draft. And that's going to count against the cap. So I still think we might hear about a few more moves in Buffalo over the next few days here.
And, you know, it is strange what's happened since 2011. Before 2011, you heard that kind of stuff a lot more. It's
like
teams had a harder time complying with the salary
cap.
We need to clear enough space to sign our draft picks.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like every year most of the league was trying to thread the needle, and you would hear about teams that were in cap purgatory where this year they just got to cut everybody. They can't go out and sign anybody because they're up against the cap. At some point, that changed. And I think it was with the 2011 CBA. I think what happened was you revolutionized the way that rookies are paid.
Right.
Makes it a lot easier to manage your cap. You no longer have this burden when you have the first overall pick. You better get it right. You know why? Guy's getting $60 million contract, which doesn't sound like much in today's NFL, but back in 2010, to guarantee that much on the way through the door was a big deal. So, you know, you don't see a lot of teams who are like, oh, God, how are we going to field a team this year? Now, and that's what makes this thing from the Bills so rare. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, how did I not know this was coming? Because, the information's out there. I just didn't bother to check because you don't have many situations like this anymore. It used to be every year there were four or five teams that were screwed. Now it's an aberration to have a team that was up against it as the Bills were, to the point where it's not even on my radar screen anymore to say, gee, who's screwed this year under the cap? I mean, with the Saints always are, but they always find a way to wave a magic wand and fix it. But the Bill, I frankly did not know the Bills were in that kind of shape. I did not know it.
Yeah, no, I know. I just became aware of it earlier this week where I was like, oh, wow. I didn't realize it was to that extent they were over the cap. And there's some other ones, too, that are, you know, kind of shocking as well. I mean, hey, the Broncos.
I'm looking at them now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Broncos, Saints, Dolphins, Chargers are the four biggies.
Right. They're the four biggies.
Broncos, Saints, Dolphins, Chargers. Ravens are in a little bit of a pickle.
Yep.
Cowboys are always kind of dancing on the line.
Right.
But there's only, looks like, eight teams that are in negative cap territory heading into next year's official league year that starts on Wednesday.
It's important to look at those things because you start to realize, the Dolphins are $15 million under the, you know, over the salary cap. Well, yeah, well, I guess it's going to be hard to give Christian Wilkins a, you know, $17 million a year type of contract and have that guy, you know, on the books too. That's where you look at it and go, well, okay, connect the dots. Yeah, Christian Wilkins will not be back with the Dolphins more than likely because of those issues right there. But, some teams there in the NFL that are damn good that certainly got some fat to trim off the salary cap to make things work.
12 total moves were made by the Bills yesterday, and they weren't all thank you on social media and pack your shit and go when, it was time to get down to business. Mitch Trubisky back with the Bills. He was cut right after the Super Bowl by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He spent a year in Buffalo after his four with Chicago, two in Pittsburgh. He's back to back up Josh Allen. Kyle Allen was there on just a one-year deal, I believe, unrestricted free agent. So Trubisky's back. Similar skill sets, right? That and that 1 year of being Josh Allen's backup was like this strange palate cleanser for Mitch Trubisky, and it created a demand for his services, and then he played. But before that, there was demand for his services. So he goes back to Buffalo, and they believe in him there as the number two to Josh Allen. And they need a number two to Josh Allen. You need somebody who can come in and get the job done if Josh Allen gets hurt. It gives them a little more willingness maybe to throw caution to the wind with Josh Allen and not be so obsessed with him, you know, God forbid, missing a game. If he misses a game, they believe Mitch Trubisky can get it done.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's good for Mitch Trubisky. He needs a place, too, that believes in him as well. I think that's part of it. You know, between Pittsburgh and Chicago, you know, those are two places that didn't really believe in him. It's hard to go out on the field and perform and be your best when you feel like, man, everybody in the stands is kind of like rooting against me, even though that I'm the quarterback of their team. And it had a little bit of that sense in both places a little bit, especially in the end in Chicago. Pittsburgh kind of the whole time. It was always like, oh, throw an interception so Kenny Pickett can be there. Throw an interception so Kenny Pickett can be in there. Right? He throws the ball too short. He doesn't throw the ball down the field enough. We're going to bench him because he doesn't throw the ball. Oh, we're going to bench him for the guy who throws it shorter than he does. But we're not going to say anything after that. But, yeah, he was rehabilitated there in Buffalo a little bit. No doubt. Now, I think Brian Daboll had a big part of that as well because he was the offensive coordinator still there, I believe. I'm pretty sure. I'm getting my mix up. I'm pretty sure.
Daboll was there.
Yeah, right.
Daboll was there. They thought he was going to go to the Giants.
So he helped, you know, fix him or at least keep him on a straight line, something we talked about with Josh Allen a little bit where we felt like that's what Daboll was. Hopefully, you know, they can find the magic touch there. But, yeah, Trubisky I still think is a valuable backup. He does still have good physical ability, right? And, like we always talk about, a somewhat similar skill set to Josh Allen to where you feel like, okay, we can still do some of the things on our offense that we do with Josh with Mitchell Trubisky, maybe just not to the same level.
The Trubisky signing in Pittsburgh is the prime example of a dynamic that we will see play out next week. There will be a guy signed by a team that needs a quarterback, and we will be under the impression that he's the week one starter until they draft a guy in round one, and then the clock begins to tick on how long that guy is actually going to be the starter. And sometimes the guy doesn't play at all. Trubisky actually played for a while in 2022. Before they pivoted to Kenny Pickett, and then he played some last year after Pickett got injured before they benched him for Mason Rudolph, and that was the sign there. When they benched Trubisky and Rudolph comes in and plays better than he ever has, that's the sign that Trubisky's the odd man out. But my point is this, as we're looking at some of these mid-level guys that will land somewhere, they're going to hold up the jersey. They're going to create. Remember Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, QB1. The Bears, remember the Bears in 2021, they signed Andy Dalton. He's QB1. It wasn't QB1 week one. It was Justin Fields. So I think Fields started right out of the gates. So that's what happens. That's what happened to Trubisky. Yeah. So
actually, I don't think he did start right out of the gates. I think Andy Dalton did start it a little bit, didn't he? I think he went from there. He kind of got hurt or something, and Fields came in, and then they never looked back after that, if I remember that clearly. But I did think there was a Andy Dalton period there where he was playing, or maybe I have it reversed where Fields was playing and then they took him out and put
Fields
in.
Did not start.
Yeah.
Fields did
okay. Not it start. Was Andy Dalton, right?
I knew as I was saying it, it didn't sound right.
Right.
I was checking myself lest I wreck myself as I was saying it. But the whole thing about calling him QB1, by halfway through the season, he was no longer QB1.
Right.
And that's just the question. When does QB1 become QB2? Once you sign the contract in free agency, and then they draft a guy in round one. And look, that's one of the ways that a team can kind of stay under the radar a little bit as to what they're going to do in round one. If you have this giant glaring need at quarterback, then the people drafting behind you know, better get in front of that team if we want a quarterback, because they're going to take this guy, so let's go get that guy instead. That's part of the gamesmanship, and it's part of the money you have to spend to perpetuate that ruse. You go out and get a mid-level veteran, and he's our starter, wink, wink, and we go out and draft a guy. We'll see that happen because we see it happen pretty much every single year.
Yeah, we do. We do. It is. It's part of the game, and I think we're going to have some of that this year. We certainly can, you know, have some teams there where we're not sure exactly what they're going to do, whether, you know, is it the Patriots? Will they sign a free agent and then kind of be like in that conversation? You know, we know the New York Giants are kind of in that conversation to begin with Daniel Jones. I know a lot of people up here, do we sign a really quality backup and just go with Daniel Jones on the quality backup? Or, you know, do we have to make a move in the draft to move up to get a quarterback we want and then have that quarterback with Daniel Jones on the roster and go from there? That's the big conversation. But, yeah, we have some teams that certainly are in that combo, right? The Atlanta Falcons at number 8. That's why we've talked about free agent possibilities, but they're another team, of course, as we sit here and go, yeah, they need a quarterback. Are they quietly under the radar trying to finagle something, do something? So it'll be interesting. It will be to see how it all works out.
Absolutely. And, you know, even if they signed Kirk Cousins, they would be in play potentially for a young quarterback with that 8th overall pick. It's one of the complications with Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson, and we're going to talk about him later in the program, if he truly does take $1.21 million to be someone's starter for 2024, and then they turn around and draft a guy, do you create a situation where that guy ends up being the starter at some point this season? If we're going to ride Russ until it looks like it's not going to work. And if we decide by Halloween it's not going to work, let's go ahead and develop the rookie. That's part of the risk that Russell Wilson's taking, that he's going to go somewhere, be the starter, and then lose the job to whoever else is there. Whoever else is there isn't determined until after the draft. And that's part of the leap of faith he's going to have to take. That's the roll of the dice he's going to take if he goes somewhere for the lowest possible contract, thinking and trusting what they're telling him about being the starter for all of 2024. All right, let's do a little draft here. General managers you would want to be in the 2024 offseason. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Sure.
Off you go.
Okay.
I'll give you the first pick. We don't have a trivia question, so you get to pick.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me not to look at the Chicago Bears right now and make that the first pick. I mean, they got pick 1. They got pick 9, right? You know, let me just try to get to the rest of their picks here. You know, then they don't have a second round pick,
right? But they got pick 75. But I think I add that, like, pick one, pick nine, the excitement of, whoa, we're going to have Caleb Williams here to be our starting quarterback. That's right. It's definite. It's going to happen, everybody, right? I think when I look at that and then, hey, number nine, are we going to couple it with a receiver? Are we going to go defense and a pass rusher? How's that going to work? But I think you throw that little possibility on right there and then add on that, hey, we've been talking about the cap. They're one of the teams towards the top of the NFL with cap space. So I think they're around four or five, somewhere there, five. They got almost $60 million in money to spend as far as that's concerned. So I look at that and go, damn, yeah, I would love to be Ryan Poles in the GM for the Chicago Bears right now.
Yeah, and that's right. I mean, you got Caleb Williams walking through the door. It makes it a lot easier to put a team around him. Yep. Also, the Bears, if they want to make a splurge in free agency, they are fifth on the list with $57.5 million in cap space in advance of next week. I'd want to be Nick Caserio because I got $70 million to spend, and I already got my franchise quarterback. And I got a guy who should have been coach of the year in D'Amico Ryans. I'm good to go. I'm ready to go. I'm gonna target positions to upgrade the team, but I can do everything with the knowledge that I got my quarterback situation completely and totally under control. The big challenge they have in Houston this year is grooming a successor to Bobby Slowick, because if they have the kind of year that they did last year, he'll be gone in 2025. That's their biggest worry. I guess that's a good problem to have, because I got $70 million in cap space, and I'm going to go out and make this team better in a division that still isn't murderer's row in the AFC.
No.
The Texans are in a position to really – it's almost pressure. It's almost too good. It's almost set up too well. Maybe I'm rethinking this. You can't operate under radar as Nick Caserio this year. The expectation is they're going to take what they did last year and go next level, and it's on him to spend that money right, make the right picks. They still have a first-round pick from the Browns for the Deshaun Watson trade, 23rd overall. So they can really make that team better, and it's on Caserio to do it.
Yeah, let's make sure that they got the pick 24 from Cleveland. Right.
That's 23.
Yeah, 23, excuse me, from that still with the Deshaun Watson, and of course lost, you know, one of their original pick with making a trade and having this 2 and 3 pick last year in last year's draft. I hear you there. I mean, hey, it'd be exciting to be the GM of the Houston Texans, like you talked about. Money to spend, got the quarterback, and the quarterback's going to be a great recruiting tool, right? Just like we always talk about. I mean, we've already seen, we saw rookies at the combine and people there. We saw people at the Super Bowl. C.J. Stroud is on the verge of becoming a household name, and he's on the verge of being like kind of that next guy that the young kids gravitate towards. And I think players around football look at him and go, ooh, he's special. Ooh, when he throws the ball, it kind of looks like the special quarterbacks in football. And I think that guys are going to want to go there because of C.J. Stroud and the effect that he has there. So I'm with you. My next one, I mean, we're all along the same lines here, but the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals, one good cap space north of $50 million. We know that, right? They do have their quarterback. And I think the big thing is, and we talked about this a lot last year, they pushed everything into this year anyways. It's all about this year. So not only money, right, but the draft picks are what are truly amazing, right? I'm just trying to get this right. They got five picks in the first three rounds. They got pick four. They got pick 27. They turn around and have pick 35, and then they have pick 66 and pick 71, right? So they are going to be able to get some difference-making type of football players on day one and day two of the draft that is going to dramatically change how we view and look at the Arizona Cardinals, let alone, hey, right, I'm excited about the coaching and what we saw in Arizona, and I'm a believer in Monty Austin for it, right? I am. I know his eye for football, and I know his process is thorough and detailed, and I think he's a guy that can, you know, strike gold here this offseason and totally change the way we think about the Arizona Cardinals.
I will go with Adam Peters of the Washington Commanders next. When you look at everything they have lined up, first of all, still low expectations in the aftermath of the Dan Snyder exile, although there's just kind of a sense of preliminary restlessness. Like, all right, you get your grace period. You got your year, Josh Harris, to, you know, we're just happy. We're just happy Dan's gone. Now let's see what you can do, given that you've had a chance to hire a new GM and a new head coach. But you're looking at $96 million in cap space. They have the second overall pick in the draft. They're getting Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Most likely Jaden Daniels. They've got 2 second-round picks because of the Montez Sweat trade. They've got 2 third-round picks because of the Chase Young trade. I mean, they got 36 and 40. On top of second overall, they got 36 and 40. So you can get a lot of great young talent, cheap rookie wage scale talent, and you can spend or you can hold. That's the other thing, too. You know, it used to be, Chris, back in the old days, in my day.
Yeah.
No, but you know, in the early days of the CBA with the salary cap and free agency, it was a lot harder to manage a cap. It was a lot harder to move cap dollars from 1 year to the next. One of the other devices, we talked earlier about likely to be earned and not likely to be earned incentives. One of the ways that you would kick cap space would be to get a guy to agree to take some of his salary this year as a not likely to be earned incentive. Kind of what the Bills might have done and likely did do with Von Miller.
Right.
You kick money that's a no-brainer. You roll out of bed in the morning and you get the money. You kick it to next year. Sometimes they'd say, no, I'm not going to do it. Now, and this happened, I'd say with the latest CBA, or not the latest one, the 2011 one, you freely can move your excess cap space from 1 year to the next. It doesn't disappear forever. So you're pushing $100 million in Washington. Don't have to spend it all this year.
Yeah,
you've got this treasure chest
that
you can keep moving into future years and maybe, you know, lay the foundation now for the eventual contract you have to give to Jaden Daniels after his first 3 years in the NFL.
Yeah, I hear you there. And that's a part of the game. Certainly, is balancing the checkbook that way and kind of seeing the future for, oh, wait, this is a year we have to sign this guy or do that, and being able to kind of put it all together and make sense for your football team. That's what the good ones do that, right? We know that. They can forecast, wait, hey, 2-3 years down the road, we got to pay this guy. We're going to want to pay this guy. Okay, let's finagle these contracts we're doing right now to where they don't get a big chunk of money that year because we're worried about giving a chunk of money to somebody else. Huge part of the game, and that's why, you know, cap space guys that know the cap formula have become extremely expensive entities inside of an organization because of their ability to figure that stuff out and how to move the money around and do that. We know that. That's a special part of the NFL right now. I mean, you get competitive advantages if you got the right guys to do the right things there in that situation. So I hear you there, certainly. I think the last one, you know, and I hate to be a prisoner towards the top of the draft a little bit, but, I mean, come on, it is what it is. The New England Patriots at pick 3. I know it's not a ton of picks, ton of money, right? I thought I saw they were close to $100 million in cap space, right, after some
I
of the
– I see 78.
Yeah, I know. Not all weekend. Yeah. I thought it's like the Boston media and stuff that I was reading up there when they made a few moves that they'd had like $100 million in cap space, but maybe I'm not remembering correctly. Either way, what I like about the Patriots and where they are, one, the money, sure, great, but pick number 3. Yeah, you're not going to get Caleb Williams. You're not going to get Jaden Daniels. They're, you know, those two teams are going to run to the podium and hand it in. It's going to be Caleb. Washington's going to run to the podium and go, here's Jaden, and the jig is up. Sorry, NFL. We all know who the first two picks are. But pick number 3, I don't know who that's going to be. And the Patriots are sitting there, like you talked about a little earlier, you know, with kind of a spot where, hey, they got money. They could sign a Band-Aid free agent quarterback if they want. They could sit there and take, oh, wait, hey, this is a year where there's 5 first-round quarterbacks. They could wait, you know, and go, hey, we're going to pick 1 of 3. They might look at the value and things and go, oh, wait, we could now, hey, we're pick number 3. Ooh, right, we like quarterback 3, 4, and 5 on our board. Right? So, Atlanta Falcons, you want to give us all this to trade up to number 3 to get the next best guy on your board? Sure, and they can move down. So they got a spot right now where I do think teams are going to look at it and go, wow, right? Like, we're not going to get Caleb. We know that. Jaden we might not get, but we like this guy, and we don't want to roll the dice on waiting and maybe he'll fall to us. We better call the Atlanta Falcons, and I mean the New England Patriots, and see if we can make some magic happen. So I'll pick them.
See, what I'm influenced by in making these assessments is a combination of how good is your team now? Like with the Texans, I already got my quarterback.
Yeah, I got you.
How good is the team now?
Right.
How am I looking in the draft? And how much cap space do I have? And it's kind of the three of them come together. And, you know, I look at the Lions for my last one. Brad Holmes, look at the great job he's done. I don't think I'd want to be the GM because just let Brad Holmes keep doing what he's doing. I think he's doing a fine job. You don't need anybody else to be doing that job other than Brad Holmes right now. They've got $50 million plus in cap space. They've got a great team. They've got some holes they need to fill. But they're an attractive team now. This is an area where I think the Lions, for the first time ever, can win the jump balls in free agency. If things are close, guys out there, you had that magical run. There's this great vibe about Detroit. Guys are going to go there.
Dan Campbell got an A-plus on the NFLPA thing.
Yeah. The guys that they want, that's the thing. They're getting to the point, like the Patriots of 20 years ago.
Right.
You're going to be able to get the guys you want for less. That's what they're creating in Detroit. We know who we want. We're a magnet for guys like that. They're not going to worry about squeezing an extra million out of this because they want to come here. That vibe makes it a lot easier to do your job as a GM. So I've sold myself on Brad Holmes and the Lions because I think it's just easier to go out and get free agents now. And you may be able to get them cheaper. And you go out and get the guys who, and that's the ultimate litmus test. You take what we offer to come be part of this. If you want more, fine. You're not part of this.
Right.
We want people who want to be part of this. We want volunteers, not hostages. We want guys who want to be here and want to show grit and bite kneecaps and be tough. I do have to say this, though, before we wrap up the draft.
Yeah.
Our good friend Bobby, who is the unofficial head of the PFTP on policy, says, I hope one of you takes Jerry Jones because he's the owner also, and I would prefer to be a multi-billionaire of the most valuable sports franchise in the world. So I guess if we could just drop
we could
into
be a
spot,
GM,
that
maybe it would be him, right?
I don't know that I'd want to drop into a body that's, you know, on the wrong side of 80 because I want to, you know, be around a little longer. But you know, so I don't want to do the full, like, movie premise that comes up every 10 years where, you know, two people switch bodies, which it just, it's like, hey, it's time to press the let's have two people switch bodies formula for a movie. Okay, sold. I don't want to do that, but I would take the team. If being the GM of the Cowboys also gave me the pink slip to the team, then, yeah, it's hard to say no to that.
Yeah, I hear you there. I hear you, right? And, I mean, it's always interesting with Dallas and Jerry Jones and, yeah, the owner, the GM. I mean, he's the king. We know that. So it would be cool to be him. But he's got some work to do, as we know. They need to make
He's all
some,
in.
Yeah.
He's all in.
They need to strike it with the draft here. They do. We know they got some holes. They got some guys that are – getting up there in age where you're like, they're going to have to be replaced here in the next year or two, just like Tyrod Smith. You know, here we are, their left tackle conversation. That's coming out in Dallas. Hey, and to your point with the Lions pick, right, and I like your angle of kind of going with some of those guys, right, and I was kind of the top of the pick, top of the draft type of guy. But the Green Bay Packers were another team I wrote on my list, right, just a little bit because of same thing you kind of talked about. You know, teams kind of set, right? They like the quarterback. They're excited about him. And if I got this right, they got, I think, five picks in the top 91. You know, they got pick 25, 41, and 58, right? That's, you know, hey, you got three players in the top 58. You got a chance, again, to a team that I look at and go, whoa, there's not many holes, right? And they got a lot of young talent that's just about to kind of hit their prime or getting close to it. And now you add another influx of young guys and talent there. You know, I feel bad. I got on Brian Gutekunst a lot, you know, for the Aaron Rodgers and how they handled that situation. I know.
I saw him walk by our set.
Oh, he doesn't want nothing to do with us. He wants nothing to do with us anymore. I do feel bad, but I will say that, you know, I got mad respect for him. And, hey, he's having the last laugh of how Jordan Love looked, you know, last year. And he has built a damn good team there right now. And they got something going, and it's like we talk about the damn NFC North. You know, you look at those rosters and you start to go, whoa, holy crap, are these teams, you know, close to complete or got a lot of potential and all of that? And Green Bay is certainly one of those teams in the NFL.
And I will say this, as it relates to the relationship with the Packers, speak for yourself, because I'm making inroads now that Aaron's gone. I'm making inroads with the Green Bay Packers. I'm making inroads by putting Matt LaFleur as number three on my ballot for the AP NFL Coach of the Year Award. They're aware of that. I'm making some inroads. Now, LaFleur wasn't there, but still, removing my nemesis from the equation makes it easier to get along with the people in Green Bay. So we're kind of, it used to be you here and I'm here, and now we're kind of moving this way.
Last
point about the Cowboys. Yeah. This is hilarious, too.
What?
This was a tweet, and I gotta give this guy respect. This guy named Patrick Walker, who actually works for the Cowboys, tweeted yesterday, the Cowboys signed nose tackle Carl Davis to the roster just ahead of 2024 NFL free agency. All in. Yes. Hey, you got a lot of guts there.
Yeah.
I got to hand it to you, Spider. You got a lot of guts. What's Jerry going to do about that?
Yeah.
Jerry,
hopefully he doesn't shoot that? You like Spider has. Spider got shot. So be careful.
But that's all in thing. And again. The rest of us are like just trying to figure out how to play chess when we should be playing checkers. Jerry's doing 4D chess. This whole all-in thing becomes this basis for ridicule that he welcomes. Because you know what? We're talking about the Cowboys. That's all he wants. Each and every year it gets a little harder to keep the Cowboys as the team that we all talk about all the time. And we're talking about them. And we'll keep talking about them. We're not going to talk about them next segment, though. Next segment, we're going to talk about the Browns. And specifically, Joe Flacco. Will he return to Cleveland? What are the factors at play here? Does he want to go? Yes. Does the team want him? We don't know. We'll talk about that next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.